dance legend Martha Graham proclaimed, "There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist. The world will not have it." Words of dance pioneer Martha Graham from Acrobats of the Gods by Joan Blackmer. Martha Graham speaking about an energy moving through the creative artist that is given shape in the artist's work. We know, though, that the ability to express such a flow takes cultivation and dedication and hard work and discipline. So when we hear Yael Kahanov use phrases like, "it's easy" and "it feels good" about creating her work, we realize that she is speaking after years of preparation and exploration of her materials, trial and error, success and failure, and of coming to trust the process and her intuitive wisdom, so that when we see her sculpture evoking, say, the dynamism of dancers and the dance, we can feel the very vitality Martha Graham has named. Yael Kahanov is an artist who has settled here in northeastern Pennsylvania. She grew up in Israel and came to the States, living and working in Indiana and California. She is known for her sculptural pieces of glass on copper, but she'll tell us about her other interests as well, and about the way cutting is fundamental to her creative process. We remember the French artist Matisse, his love for color, and the cutouts he made with scissors toward the end of his life. Referring to one such cutout, we're told Matisse said, "It breathes, it responds, it's not a dead thing." We're invited to an exhibition of works by Yael Kahanov at the Main Street Galleries in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre, through the month of October, where we will experience her vital and dynamic forms. Yael paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the roots of her art and the creative process.
Growing up in Israel, this was not even, it's not written any place. You finish school, you go to the military, you get married, and that's it. I knew I have something because I always did something with my hands, but never schooling. My parents never paid attention to that. And I started when I came to United States and needed a job and went to camp. I said, "I'm good with my hands. Can I do something with children?" And they asked me if I know how to do jewelry, copper and enamel. And I really did not. But I went to the library. At that time, we didn't have the internet. And I studied it and I went back and I got the job. And that medium intrigued me. And I wanted to explore it totally on my own. I call it my primitive art. Never studied it. And I took it to a different level.
And a different scale, too.
Different scale. That's the point. Because copper and glass is a very ancient form of art. They used to do it to fuse glass on gold and silver, more for decorating, but it's really busy. And then I think in Cyprus, I don't really know the years and I don't know that history that well. I had a little furnace and I started working with small and then just went big. Went to school later in life, finished fine art, more in photography and printing. Went to Paris for internship for printmaking. And then came back, and living in Indianapolis, Indiana, I opened a studio and had a company build a huge furnace for me. And then how I started to work on a larger scale with the dimensions and all hit and miss type of work. I did not know all what I'm doing because the copper kind of loses its shape when you put it in 1800 degrees. So I learned how to form and how to hold it and so on, and I'm doing it for 30 years.
Were you always sketching in your notebooks?
No, it's interesting. No, I don't even sketch. I cut. I just cut my idea, what I see in my head, and I cut, and according to that, I form my design, my subject, depends what I'm doing. That's to create the sculptures that I'm doing. But I have another medium, which is printmaking, woodcut, etching. That's totally different. And I combine the two in as far as the subject matter. But each one is totally different.
And what we can see of the images, there's a dynamism and a fluidity, even though the materials have taken form finally, but there's an energy there that's remarkable.
Yeah, I hope so. For me, it's all, I don't want to say the word easy, but coming with the idea is easy. Doing it, it's more complex. I need also help. I cannot do it all on my own. I need somebody to help me with the cutting, which I used to do by myself. I grew older. It's more difficult. And somebody to do the skeleton for my work so I can adhere it to it and then we can hang it on the wall because it's quite complex. I did find somebody here in Lucerne and came a nice friend and he's a welder. His name is Dave Shimola and he did all the framing for me. It's the skeleton for my work. That's why it's hanging on the wall. So I'm lucky.
And there's color.
Comes easy. I enjoy the colors. That's what it is. You know, you can have a nice form. You can have a nice subject. It can be completely free form. It can be presentation, figurative, but very abstract. And the color is what makes it. And the enamel has the pigments in it. Sometimes I need more than one firing to get the vibrancy. But mostly one time, one firing can bring that luster.
When the firing is done, is it like a potter where you have expectations, but sometimes you're surprised?
Yes and no. In the beginning, yes. And after so many years, I know what to expect, and I know even how to control it with the heat. Sometimes more heat, sometimes less. But it has to be, of course, in a melting level. And usually between 1500 to 1800 degrees.
And that's all very scientifically based. It's metals and...
Probably, but I don't understand that. I just do it. And I learned through hit and miss. I learned that you need to put glass on both sides of the copper so the glass is less breakable or inside crackles, which are natural to the medium. But since the copper expands differently than the glass, I learned that. And since it's a large scale, you know, the surface is bigger, so the tendency to have those crackles are there.
What about working in a tradition that is ancient? You've made it your own, and it's definitely contemporary. But what about the knowledge that this art goes back so long?
Well, I cannot do what they did. And the cloisonné is part of this medium. You know, it's more precise. And it's more delicate, and it takes more control, and I like it more, you know, to have more freedom to just not to think about the edge, out of the box.
You talked about the printmaking and the woodcuts, and how they're different, but there is some sort of...
Right. Well, it's the design, probably. It's the subject matter. The sculptures, hard physical work. The fabric and the paper, I do my own handmade paper, is soft. It's more relaxing. It's I could do it anytime, totally on my own. And since a lot of artists are in printmaking, I'm trying to build my own style and design. And usually it's the cutting that I'm talking about. I cut my prints and I do other things with it. And I don't like to call it collage because I don't think it's collage, but it's definitely cutting of my own work, and it looks totally different.
Do words figure at all in any of these designs, or are these images?
Sometimes in my own language, I might add a word or two, or I sign in my own language too, but not really. Maybe you can see words in it, but I'll let you look at it.
What will we find when we come to the Main Street Gallery? Some of each?
Some of each. And what I did, I took some of the sculptures, the same design, and I did it in printmaking. So you can see the correlation there.
they speak to each other, and going through one to the other and back again, we see more and experience more, I would think.
You know, I work with the... used to have a huge studio in Indianapolis. I scaled down here, and I really did not think I will have a show. Did not look for it. I did it many years ago. But the gallery offered, and I thought that would be a nice way to represent myself here in the area. Every time you put a show, it's you. And as much as artists, we are sensitive, you know. If somebody critique your work, they critique you in many ways. But I learned how to take that.
When you see the work together, do you see things that you hadn't seen in them?
Sometimes, yes. Depends. Usually the complete abstract. Depends how I put it on the wall. Sideway, upside down, inside out, and I can do that. I don't like to give names to my work because I would like the one who looks at it to see what they want to see in it. Unless it's figurative, or which is obvious.
Are you inspired by the natural world? This area is such a beautiful...
It's beautiful. Really beautiful. And I live in a really nice spot. Inspired, I'm inspired by shapes. It's not just the nature. I can see something in a negative spot and see something there. I don't think a lot about it. It happens. It can happen any time of the day. And it's, and sometimes there are periods that I don't come with anything. And that's kind of quite scary a little bit. But living long, I know that it comes back. But it's not something that you can really do on a daily basis. And sometimes it's every day for quite a while. So I can work. I can have a design that I did 3 months ago and bring it to the table and create it. But I cannot just, you know, like, yeah.
The materials that you work with, are they readily available to you?
I have sources, yes. I'm buying copper, like roofers buy copper and in large sheets. And I buy the glass in a place where they supply the frit, the crushed glass with pigments. And they don't have a lot of sources here.
And is music important to you in your life?
Very. I listen to music, and it doesn't matter what. Classical, it can be blues, it can be jazz, it can be country, it can be pop, any music that that particular moment feels good. It feels good. Not when I create, when I need to think, I need total silence. But when I'm producing it, then I do need music. Sometimes I read books. So it's full time. But I'm using my right side of the brain. I don't use the watch. I don't want to know the time, and total right side of the brain.
And we can get a sense of why this might be important for you in your life. How are the arts, do you see, important to us in our lives as humans?
You know, it's so part of me that it looks natural, and I don't realize that somebody else does not think like I do. It's important, and when I started 30 years ago, it was even more important then because I found that to market the art is difficult. And when we finish school, we are not taught enough how to market ourselves. And being older, finished school older, I went out there and I pushed my work myself. And that was the best. I wanted to talk to young people, to tell them, just have the guts. Do not worry what somebody else says. You know what you're doing. Knock on doors. Somebody will open the door. And really, my first commission was the largest, and I have never was able to do another one in that scale. Big in the sense of, that was Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company, and I did the whole insulin center for them. Mm-hmm. So that was my first commission, and the validation that I'm worth, my work worth something. But it took time. And you go and you talk to people, and you talk to designers, and you talk to architects, and you come across as if you know what you are doing. Not necessarily you do, but you have to. And then you work on it, and it works. And it's scary. It's scary till today. I had an opening at Main Street Gallery, and I've done it before, and yet I felt insecure and concerned, and because art is also in the eye of the beholder. Some will like it, some won't. Art is also costs money if you put it in a gallery. So there is a lot of things that I'm standing up there alone and thinking, what will I do? What will I say? How will people accept that? Do they understand? And all that things, we need to teach that. We need to teach that to young people who finish fine art in university and then they don't continue. And I did it on my own. I took loans to start a studio. And I thought I will teach there and I'll rent my space to other artists that don't have a place to work. And I ended up being so busy that my original plan, I did not do. And I do read in their eyes, those who like it to those who don't. And I hope that what I brought up here to the public will be accepted well. It's not watercolor, it's not painting, it's abstract. It's a lot of things that I do not know how to express.
To what degree are you hoping that we have a full-bodied experience, an emotional reaction to your work when you say, you know, you can see in eyes whether
right.
people like it?
Oh, of course I do. And I take it in. I sometimes it hurts too, but it's okay. It's part of it. But you continue. You have to. I was lucky in many ways, and I do count my blessings.
Does your work develop over time? Do you find progressions or growth or evolution?
Sure. That's why I called it my primitive work. Every time I do something, there is something new. The way I put it in the furnace, the way I take it out, the way I put it on the frame. Should I do it immediately? Should I wait a little bit? It's not like a pottery. It's totally different. It's a very quick firing. And there are all kinds of results the way you're handling it. Yes, every time is something new, every time.
And that's exciting, isn't it?
It's exciting. It's exciting when you see the total result. Sometimes when I work on a large scale, I do it in parts. So I need to assemble them and to figure out how to do it. And once it's done, yeah, there is certain elation. But at the same time, when you finish work, there is a letdown too. You finished. Now there is something new. Sometimes it takes time, especially when you have a show and you work quite intensively for a few months, for a year, and then there is a show and there is a letdown, and I do feel it.
Have new colors come into your palette depending on what's been available?
Yes, there were times that I kind of got stuck. Today I'm using everything I can. Usually transparent colors, because then you have the luster of the copper. When you have opaque, it's kind of blocking the sheen of the copper. But the combination of the two is beautiful.
There's a certain humility before the process and before the materials that you're a little bit of butterflies.
Sure. I don't know it all. It's I do what I think is good and nice for me. And that's where the pleasure comes in. But yeah, I'm vulnerable, of course.
And yet you're really true to your own vision and your
right.
own understanding,
right.
and you are centered in that way.
Right. What happened, I went to school late, and when you go to art school, you go through a lot of critiques when you finish a project, and by the time you finish school, you're not sure that you're really good. And when I start working professionally, I wanted the piece to be more complex and more, I thought maybe it's more meaningful. But I liked the simple lines and I liked less is more. And I was concerned maybe it's not good enough, but that's who I am. And I'm back to what I like the most. And who says what's good and what's not good in the art? When I teach kids, I let them do what they want. There is no right way to express yourself, unless you learn techniques. But when you create and the kid wants to draw the house in a certain way, that's the way he wants to draw the house. There is no right or wrong. And it's the same in my work, and that's the way I look at it. And with the time, it's definitely, I'm become freer and freer in the way I express my work. And when you look at it, it does look controlled. But it really starts from cutting, literally cutting. And the control is maybe the edge or the smoothness or the medium itself. That's the way it looks. It's beautiful. It's glass. It's shiny. It's vibrant. It looks controlled. But I don't know even how to express what I want to say. I just do it.
How about fabrics then?
I print on fabric. I print on silk, but the silk is plain, and I put the design on the silk. And then I might cut it and change it and do other things with it.
And that, of course, is fluid, the silk itself.
Fluid, yes. And I enjoy doing it because it's soft. Coming from sculpture to that medium, it's soft, it's pleasurable, and it's easy for me.
Growing up in my era, it was take the scissors and the paper and make the dolls that would
right,
be a stretch.
Right.
Did you have any scissor work?
I grew up in a different times, in different times in Israel.
Yeah.
We were lucky. We went to school and we had food on the table and, you know, survived difficult times and politically difficult times. So there was no time for that kind of, but we're talking many years. Even though I'm many, many years here, my kids were born here and they're adults, and my son is in the art too. He's a cinematographer, director of photography. My daughter is a dean in university. So we were lucky to give them the education. I'm very grateful. And I have to be grateful also to people here that really welcomed us in, and Sally from the gallery who saw my work and said, I would like to give you a show. And she opened the door. And I'm grateful. You need people.
Artist Yael Kahanoff of the Wyoming Valley, speaking with us about an exhibition of her original works running now through October 31st at the Main Street Galleries, 370 Pierce Street in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. Her works are multidimensional. They move, they're vibrant, there's texture and lustrous coloration. There are sculptural pieces, glass on copper, as well as etchings and woodcuts. And she works with silk, as we heard. For more information on the web, mainstreetg.com, mainstreetg.com. Yael Kahanoff, original works of this artist from the Wyoming Valley, now through October 31st at Main Street Galleries, 370 Pierce Street in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. For more information on the web, mainstreetg.com, mainstreetg.com. Gallery hours Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.